You're listening to Raising the Vibration with Sheena Metal, only on LA Talk Radio.
And the one, my wonderful friend Ray Dong Chong is here. Hello, my friend.
Hi. Happy everything. Happy vibration. Hi, everyone.
Hi.
Hi, LA.
Also on my advisory board, and I could think of nobody I would want more than you. You're so darling. And since we're not talking about politics tonight, I will say really quickly that I started a new concept called Chicks on Politics, and it's all women talking about women's issues. And Ray Dong is practically my co-host. I think you've done all but one when you were out of town.
Yeah.
And I think you may have put a magic spell on it because you can't do it. It miraculously never happens. Only one time. Usually when Ray Dong says she can't do it, suddenly nobody else can do it. So I think it's meant to be yours. And I can't thank you enough for talking about women's rights with me and human rights and all the things that are so important.
You know, thank you. It's my pleasure to witness with you. I feel like you help, the show helps frame it. And when we have all the other guests on, when we get to share as a community, I think that it makes it easier for us to go through what we're going through, no matter what your point of view is or persuasion.
I agree.
Because ideally, it's about communication, right? Mm-hmm. Everything.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I agree. It's when I first started the idea, and I
which one?
Chicks on Politics. I couldn't believe there wasn't a show called that. I couldn't believe there wasn't a show all for women, just talking about women's
things.
Well,
it's called The View.
But that's a little different. That's not Chicks
but
on Politics.
But not on telly. I mean, not on this
on radio
platform.
Right.
And to be honest, they don't really call themselves a political show.
No,
even though
they're really
they
not.
Do get to it.
Right. But yes. They also talk about like who's a hottie and you know. Bye, sweetheart.
Speaking
Erica's
of flying,
leaving.
I have to fly. Bye,
we
guys.
Love you. Thank you for
Bye.
Being here. Okay. So let's take the call, and then I'll ask you questions right on that I've asked other people. Welcome to the show, and it's our 2-year anniversary. Thanks for being here. Hello.
Hi.
Hi. Is this Andrea?
Hi, honey.
How yes. are you, sweetheart? This is my dear friend Andrea Perrin, who is part of my paranormal family friends, and who has just joined our advisory board just recently. And for people who may not know Andrea's name, she was part of the family that was the real story from the Conjuring movie. So we are both paranormal
wow.
survivors, and she has written the real story of that and gone on to become somebody who goes out and speaks to people and helps people every day, because you're always at a different conference. You're at one right now, aren't you, my friend? Aren't you at somewhere?
Yes, I just got back from my whirlwind tour of Southern California with my Holly Weirdos. I count you among them. We got some great pictures together with all of our friends. And then I did the Star Wars Symposium in Nevada, all about the extraterrestrial question. I got back 2 days ago, and this morning I left for Michigan. I'm in Ann Arbor right now for a weekend event in Dundee, Michigan.
You know, you are so wonderful, and you listen to everybody's stories tirelessly. And I have to tell you that, first of all, you're such a beautiful person, and I love you so much. And secondly, I also grew up in a haunted house. It was sort of how my mother realized she had her gifts was living in that house. And it's hard mm-hmm. for people, and it was very hard then because there was no one to talk to about it. Mm-hmm. You didn't exactly in Orange County walk out and tell the evangelical neighbors cans of corn are flying around the kitchen. Mm-hmm. So we just didn't tell anybody. Mm-hmm. And I know the same thing when you were growing up in New England, Andrea. Who were you going to tell?
So although New England's old.
It is very old.
And there's a lot of hauntedness in New England.
Yes, it is. And you lived there for years, right?
I love New England.
You lived in New Hampshire.
I consider it one of my spiritual homes.
And that's where Andrea grew up, in New Hampshire.
Where in New Hampshire?
No, not in New Hampshire,
no,
in Rhode Island.
I always mix
them. Which is interesting because Rhode Island, my son went to Brown. I spent a lot of time there.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Rhode Island saved my son's life, even.
I just lost my New England card by mixing up New Hampshire and Rhode Island.
It's still New England.
There's
though.
So many all little tiny states over there. It's okay.
And I'm from one of them.
Rhode Island is tiny.
I know. It's a little baby.
It's potent.
But it's right next to
it
Connecticut.
It has Sheldon Whitehouse. But it's tiny.
I know. Yeah. And it's my Connecticut neighbor. Sweetie,
it's not the size that counts.
It's not. It's not the size of your state. It's what you do.
It's what state you're in.
Andrea, why did you what does Raising the Vibration mean to you, and why did you want to be a part of this movement?
Well, first and foremost, I was inspired not only by what you've created, I was inspired by you. And thank you. I wanted to be a part of whatever it was that you created.
Thank you. Thank you, my friend. Such an honor. And what does raising the vibration mean to you? What would you like to see happen?
Well, that's what, I mean, we are truly, truly good spirits in this regard, in all regards, truly, but in this regard particularly, because what I do, to the chagrin of some in the paranormal, is I raise the vibration by dispelling fear about extraterrestrials, fear about ghosts and spirits.
Good.
Fear in general. And, you know, I mean, because I work in a field that exists predominantly to scare the bejesus out of people, you know, in terms of the film industry, et cetera, it seems counterintuitive, I'm sure. To many, but I think the more we understand, the less we fear.
Yes.
And even though I'm the first to admit that there are no people that in the paranormal or who have experienced paranormal activity who are experts in this, there are no experts in this.
Right.
If somebody claims to be so, then they're being fraudulent and you should run in the opposite direction. But I do think that there are those of us who have had unique and compelling experiences that are worthy of sharing. And so there are only two questions that really matter to me in life. And I had the opportunity very early in life to have both of them answered for me. And the first one is, is there something beyond our mortal existence?
Yeah.
And I can, for myself, unequivocally answer that yes. Are we alone in the universe? No. So that's the crux of the matter for me. When I do what I do, I talk about the importance of dispelling fear and robbing it of its power to force us to live compartmentalized, fear-based lives where we don't live a full life because we're afraid to do this and afraid to do that and, you know, afraid to bark up that tree and afraid to experience all of that life offers.
Yeah.
And so what I try to tell people is, you know, good conquers evil, love conquers fear. Hate is not the opposite of love. Fear is the opposite of love. Hatred
yes.
is born of fear.
And apathy is the opposite of love.
Yes. Yes, you know, so it's my message, it's my personal message that I carry out into the world and offer up to all those who want to listen.
I agree.
And it's my privilege and my pleasure, and in many, many respects, you and I do precisely the same thing.
Absolutely
we do. A little
bit different. Absolutely we do, and I love and adore you, and I thank you for being part of this, and I'm honored. Thank you, honey.
I love you too, honey.
You take care, sweetheart. Get some sleep and go talk about UFOs
night.
In the morning.
I
okay.
am. Okay. Call me.
And
I got news.
And note to self from Andrea, I'm now going to go home, take paranormal expert off my bio. Radon, welcome, my friend. It's so wonderful
Thank
to
you.
Have you here. What does raising the vibration mean to you, my friend?
I think it's acknowledging, like she just mentioned, that we are made of star material, carbon, you know, we're sparkly stars, basically, all of us, that we should play bigger than we do, that there is really, there's no word but possible, and yes, and let's do it, and how, what do I need to do to get here, to get there, how can I help you, I love you.
Yes.
Raising the vibration is walking into a room and bringing sunshine, and but also gravitas and intelligence and fun, being able to assess everything and not push people beyond their evolution. I'm not looking at you for any reason other than, you know, that thing. To acknowledge where people are at with love,
yes,
and not judgment.
Yes, yes.
To be able to embrace and really respect people's choices and understandings. Because I'm noticing, I just got back from Indiana and I flew on a plane filled with people who had voted and are real believers in the president, uh-huh, Donald Trump. And they were farmers. A lot of them were soybean farmers. And I was wearing a lacket, and I look like me, and I am me. And I was quietly sitting in my seat next to this fantastic couple, older. But you could just feel, I could feel there that they were, you know, that they got on tractors in the morning. You know,
yeah,
like,
sure.
I could feel that they were real salt of the earth people. And I could tell by there was a large group of them that Trump country. And so without my needing to, I want to be inclusive, and I want to embrace and really emanate as much love as I can.
Me too.
And I don't always succeed, you know, me and Oprah. But I do feel...
There's a comparison.
But I do feel that there's a need for us, who whatever side you're on,
yes,
to bridge, like a covered bridge, but to bridge. And so I sat with this lovely couple, and the woman, I didn't say anything. Because I think half the battle is not projecting our needs onto people.
Yes.
Like, mm-hmm, the most loving thing we can sometimes do is shut up.
Yes. And listen.
Yeah.
And listen.
And sure enough, the lady was very forthcoming with her story. And she said, without me saying anything, she started talking about the tariffs. And so I thought that was interesting, because these tariffs are going to decimate her family. And she just started talking. So, and that was hard for me, because of course I want to say, duh. I mean, the guy is such an idiot. He has no idea what you do. But then she said to me, she goes, I think we've made a mistake. Now, I didn't say anything. She said, I think we've made a mistake, but we're still holding out hope,
okay,
that he's going to get better.
Okay.
And I said, well, he's going to give you some money. She goes, yeah, the money's not going to last longer than a quarter. It was so, and she was soft about it. And I said, let's talk about the plant paradox. I was just trying to turn it on to something more fun.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I love that you are open to listen to what other people have to say. I always try to find a place where I can connect with somebody.
No matter who they are.
Yeah, and especially situations when you're on planes or you're sitting in airports.
Because it's intimate, really.
Yeah, I want to know how other people function. And like we talked about earlier tonight before you got here, to me there are only two parties of people. There are parties of the light and party of the dark and negative people.
Which is really the lack of light.
It's lack of light.
I don't even think there is dark. I think it's just lack of absence of
light. I agree with you.
And
I think there's dark. But I agree with you. I agree. It's a lack of light. And are you a person who is all about yourself, or are you a person who acknowledges that you're part of a bigger whole?
So I had to get up in front of this room filled with very white people, which is, you know, an observation. In fact, one of my girlfriends at the event said, how is it always being the token? And my first initial feeling, because it's a good question.
Yeah.
And my feeling is, I don't walk in thinking that, but I do notice that sometimes, often, in my journey, I will be what I call the icebreaker.
Sure.
So I got up, and I was so drawn by the fact that I've been drawn and asked to come to Indiana three times. I've worked there three times. And the people have always been delicious and fun and loving. And the place is extraordinarily beautiful. And so I just wanted to tell them. I said, you know, this is the craziest thing for me to say to you, because I know on a personal level we don't know each other, but I love you.
Love that. That's beautiful.
And it moved the room. I had more people coming and just sort of touching me. And I thought, that's so funny. Because all I wanted to say was the simple thing of, I love you.
It's beautiful.
Which isn't a simple thing for a lot of people to say.
No, but it's beautiful that it's a simple thing for you to say. We've got someone on the phone.
It.
Brian, is this you? I hear good background.
You have ears that are wondrous.
It's my wonderful friend Brian O'Neill, who is on our advisory board. Sweetie, what does raising the vibration mean to you, my dear friend? We've known each other a hell of a long time.
We have, and I'm especially grateful, and I was then proud of that friendship and our association.
Me too.
I dig you, and I dig what you're about.
Thank you.
Raising the vibration, and its chairperson and sponsor, to me, are about what the previous conversation was. At its root, it's about our ability to love one another.
Yeah. Yeah. It's one of the most important things. And I think you can never go wrong in living in love. And some there's so many things that can fix. You know, as I talked about earlier, my mom had a really, really bad childhood, and that's not a secret. And when I would ask her sometimes about what her secret was to grounding and feeling hopeful, in fact, of what her childhood was like, and she would say, you know what, honey, my whole life I lived in the dark and I was so alone. She's like, but then I had you, and it's made up for everything. And it made me realize that it just takes one person to love you. That's all you need, one person to love you. And it'll erase so many things that have happened to you if just one person says, I'm here and I love you unconditionally. And I think that's why, like you, Radon, I try to spread love wherever I am, because there are people, like you said, Darby, it's not easy. No one's ever said I love you to them. They've never felt that love from anybody. To feel it from me, then fantastic. Then my work is done. And I learned that from my mama. Brian, thank you so much, sweetheart. I know you have to get back to your music. I'm so honored to have you as a part of this, and I will talk to you soon.
Well, hold on one second.
No, please.
I'll tell you one thing.
Yeah.
Through your waves and your influences, things go out into the ether and the universe as we know it. There is an important part in our national politics and positioning and our worldview. The love is most important, and you have to put that first and foremost. And it's okay to agree to disagree. And after that, we go, okay, let's break some bread and love one another.
Yeah.
And we see that as a thought process and as an emotional and spiritual space in our lives at this time. So
yep.
Thank you for allowing me to share that.
Absolutely. Thank you, my friend. I love you dearly.
Love you too, honey.
So good beautiful. We got somebody else calling? All right. Welcome to the show. Is this Christian?
Yeah, it is.
It's my wonderful friend, Christian Cavill, who is on our advisory board as well, calling all the way from New York. How are you, my friend?
I'm pretty good. Pretty good. Actually, very good.
Are you in the city tonight, or are you upstate?
Upstate. Recharging my batteries.
I love it.
Where upstate?
I am up in Beacon, New York, the lovely Beacon. My wife and I moved up here a couple of years ago, or at least we didn't move up here. Got a place up here. We only thought it was going to be a weekend place, and then we enjoyed it so much, they were like, I think we're going to spend more than just weekends. So,
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that. And you know it what? Is. It's you are remarkably not far from where my mother grew up in Wappingers Falls.
I know it. I was just driving through there today.
Isn't that
I know it well.
Isn't that strange? It's interesting because one of my friends, Jenny, who called in earlier, who's on our Vibration Council, my mom's originally from Louisville, Kentucky, around there. And I always say it's so neat to have a friend that lives around where my mom grew up. And now I have you and Amerika, your wife, live right where my mom grew up after she was adopted. So there are no accidents. And then, well, don't be surprised if someday I tell you I'm getting a place close by and we become neighbors. I think about it sometimes.
Great. We'll be waiting.
Going back to the Hudson River Valley. Calls me sometimes.
You'd be one of many. A lot of people are coming up here these days.
I like that. I like lots of people. What does Raising the Vibration mean to you, and why did you want to be a part of this movement on our advisory board?
Well, Raising the Vibration for me is just about, a community that's gathering people together that understand that we've got some big problems to face. For humanity, for not even humanity, just for the planet and for all beings on it. And we need to come together because we've got big problems that require big solutions. That pretty much sums it up. I mean, the 2030 is upon us, and we've got obviously we know about global warming, but ecological collapse is even the silent killer that no one's really talking about, and that's our food system is breaking down. We've also got the threat of artificial intelligence and technological disruption. We've also got overpopulation. So big problems. And, you know, getting people together and thinking in ways that are outside of the box and not just based on the old ways of doing things is required at this point.
You know, I always bring this up on shows, and I don't know if I brought it up when you've been on a show with me, Christian, but bear with me, everybody. Mm-hmm. I think that AI is definitely going to be something that we see in our lifetime as a real thing. Mm-hmm. Once we have these lovely little AI beings that we want to drive our cars and clean our houses, How long until one day they come to us and say, I'm a person, which you say I have to do because I'm a being. And so what are we going to say? We're going to say, well, you're not a being because you don't have a soul. But how do we know they don't have a soul? Well, you don't have a soul because God drops a soul into you the minute you're born, right? So if let's just say if God drops a soul into you the day you're born, who's to say God didn't drop a soul into the AI day it got turned on?
I think they made that movie. It was called Ex Machina.
Right? Yeah. I mean, at what point?
An episode of Star Trek Next Generation.
Absolutely. Right? At what point are we? What are we going to say to them when they one day say, well, I'm so glad that you created me to be your sex slave, but I don't want that anymore. I want to go to college.
But also there's another thing, though, that people are not really aware of, and I think you're talking about it. With the infiltration of propaganda on the platforms and the distrust of the trolls and bots and the hacking, there's a lot of really bad, scary, massive traffic that is out to hurt us. And that, to me, is an interesting aspect of the AI
yes.
Universe. You know, mm-hmm. the dark web, the Tor, the fact that probably everybody's information is out there yeah. for sale. And so, you know, what we don't really realize is that, for instance, your aunt, you know, is going to go have, you're going to have turkey with your family, and they're going to spout things that are just absolutely wholesale not true. But they heard it online, they read it on a site that looked really newsy woozy,
sure.
and they think it's real.
Yeah.
And we're suffering from something massive right now. It's an earthquake of yeah. information.
Yes. And as they're spouting all that stuff, Alexa is listening, and she's recording
it
all.
Not in my house, she isn't.
And she's
mine either.
And she's
but you carry a phone, a cell
or mine.
Phone.
I don't have
you
Alexa.
You carry a cell phone, and your cell phone is collecting data.
Oh, of course.
Everywhere you go.
No, my watch the other day told me on a walk with the dogs. It says, oh, yeah, after the walk, I was just about finished. It says, oh, looks like you're going on a walk. Do you want me to record this? And I'm like, no. Oh, I've never done that. I'm like, well, okay, but it's just going to record me from, you know, here to the end of the block because I'm just about done. And I pushed okay just to see what it done because I've never used that health part of the watch. And I pushed okay, you've walked now for a mile and a half. Your heartbeat was up to here. I'm like, oh, so you were monitoring me the whole yeah. time and just yeah. wanted to know if I know it.
And that information, by the way, is already online.
Well, of course.
And like, because you know, the military, all those guys use the Fitbits.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they realize it's a security problem.
Oh, please. The Chinese make our guidance systems.
Yep.
I mean,
that's
true.
Yeah.
No, but they also have
been surprised. They're like, you yeah. mean they can embed
and,
something?
Wait, listen.
Ivanka Trump is apparently going to be making our election machines also in China. She
She's
just got
so
a patent
disgusting.
For that.
She's,
you didn't see that
oh,
recently.
I just want her to go to prison.
Yeah.
Oh,
I know she's a mother. Ivanka. Oh, I want them all to go to prison.
Okay, and that's where the vibration
and that's,
is.
And that's where the love stops.
That's our show
right
tonight.
There.
Christian, thank you so much for being here, sweetheart. I can't wait to get you back in the studio and we'll do some radio, okay?
Okay, we'll do.
Thanks Absolutely. For being a part of this. Lovely.
See, that's the challenge. Love is
Suzanne,
fleeting.
You need to go?
I do need to go because hot really close, so work comes early.
We love that you were here, and I thank you.
You.
Parting words for folks?
I would love that. What I want to say is anybody who's watching or listening, if you're struggling, if you're depressed, if you're battling anxiety, you're not alone. There is so much help out there. Resilient, take care of yourselves, but know that you're not alone and reach out because these sorts of things happen because people feel alone and desperate. And we don't want you to feel that way.
Absolutely.
So please reach out.
Absolutely. I love you, my friend. 25 years of friendship. Here's to 25 more.
Oh, yes. Let's.
Thank you. The wonderful Suzanne Groff, everybody. Oh, is Radon, are you moving?
I'm going to change.
Okay. Radon's going there. So now you have your own mic. LA, how about that? Look at that. Very exciting. Radon's going to sit there. And
now I'm the token.
And now you're the token.
What, genius.
Because Suzanne left, she was a woman too. Did you know? Did you
well, think? No, I'm just oh, no, I'm just looking around
know.
Women.
You and, are, you know, right?
So there we go.
Yeah.
Some people are gender binary, though.
Yeah.
You have to check in.
I'm gender binary.
Yeah.
Me so. Too.
Yeah.
So there you go. What about that? What about that?
All right, come on. Let's measure it. Lay it out on the table.
But it could be metaphorical.
I didn't get that.
Right.
Wouldn't it be neat if I did? I didn't get. I just got a lack of something. But I. But then the beautiful story.
There's no lack there. Okay.
That on St. Patrick's Day.
Yes.
In 1983.
Yes.
The leprechauns gave me a vagina, and then I was just like other girls. How about that? That's a true story.
I always like the Adam and Eve story, where you know God was talking to Adam and Eve and says, "I bestowed all these gifts. I only have two more gifts that." that I can bestow upon you, and you want to, you know. And Adam's like, yeah, what is this? Well, one, I will give you the ability to write your name in the snow.
Oh.
And Adam's like, yes, yes, yes. And he's like, what's the last one? Multiple orgasms.
That's true.
That's why women are always smarter. That's a very hetero joke, isn't it?
Yeah.
Can I just change the subject for a second?
Yes.
So, in honor of the souls that departed through the portal of this horrendous one more mass shooting,
yes.
I wanted to just first of all, with all the levity, that it's not a very funny day. It's a sad day.
No. And we're doing a serious show for the most part.
On the way here, I know that I noticed she spoke about if you're sad, if you're lonely, one of the things I've noticed with these shooters, particularly the ones suffering from PTSD, which is all of us,
yes.
is that there's a cell, right? We talked about this. So they're, these are young, predominantly men, it's about 99% male, who are isolated and they haven't had connection with anyone of the opposite sex or whatever, same sex if that's the persuasion. And these guys tend to be quite violent. And then they just live alone. They live in a situation that isn't taking care of their needs or raising their vibration. And then they're getting guns and then they're coming out and they're hurting people.
Yes.
And killing them. And hurting, you know, when you kill one person, you decimate a family. Mm-hmm. So, you know, tonight and on the way here, as I was sort of just feeling for us, because we're exhausted.
Yeah.
And it's devastating. We may not directly know anyone, but we probably do, because there's been so many now. But I saw this guy, and I have to say, there was ever a poster person for possible shooter, this man walking across Little Santa Monica Crescent Drive in his plaid shirt and the strangest vibration.
Yep.
I thought to myself, if I would say, check this guy out. He had such a weird energy. And then I thought, my God, that's so interesting. And we don't have, you know, I don't think we have a hotline if you see somebody other than 911. If you know of someone who's isolated, if you know of someone who's...
No.
Do we have any kind of thing where you can say, I just saw this guy, he was really strange energy, but I mean, it could be abused.
No, we really don't. Only police.
But could you imagine if everybody called in because they thought strange energy?
Well, that's what it's like to be a black person.
You were just
person.
Talking about being such a lovely person.
Or me.
And now you're profiling a guy.
Somebody he was tonight. In a,
And
why did I profile him? I profiled him and it was a gut
feeling.
But sometimes
it really is energy. I was...
It was energy. It was vibration.
That's why we're raising the vibration.
Yeah. But wait a second. I just want to say something. Welcome to being a person of color. Welcome to being a black man in a Walmart. If someone can call the police on you and say you have a gun and you're dead, you can even say anything.
Yes.
That's what it's like to be a black man. It's called swatting. So I'm not saying I wanted to call the police on him per se, but I definitely looked at him and thought, he has really strange energy. He had the, and I have to tell you, if you were to say, what is an incel or what is somebody that potentially looks like he needs attention, the guy looked like it. And I thought that was interesting. Yeah, I'm judging him. I'm saying, wow, that guy looks like he's a little bit off.
I had a guy come and sit next to me on Venice Beach once, and friends were going to a drum circle, and I was sitting there on the phone with my mom, just kind of trying to avoid the drum circle, which was a little bizarre. And this guy came and sat down next to me. He didn't say sat down next to me, and he had this immediate energy of danger. Mm-hmm. And he sat there, and he sat there, and he sat there, and I suddenly looked over, and he had a giant Kaiser blade stuck in like a side pocket of his cargo pants. And I just very casually went, oh, you know what, Mom? I have to get that thing out of the car. I'm going to take you to the car with me. And I went and sat in the car through the rest of that drum circle because there was something that didn't feel right. And I think maybe since we don't want to get to the place where crazy people can call the police just to turn in their exes.
Right. Or women can call the police on the black neighbor or cops can walk into a black person's house and shoot them.
We don't want that life.
You know,
but maybe... we need to start trusting our guts more.
Yeah.
And when we feel like they may potentially
trouble.
Not be okay, we need to remove ourselves from that situation walk and take away. Our friends with mm-hmm. us and just say, you know what, why don't we walk over here. I had it happen once too. I was working at the Knitting Factory booking music, and which was kind of my living in my 20s and 30s, and this guy walked up and he looked like he was the Secret Service, but his suit, if you looked it up close, and he walked right up to me and he put his finger in his ear like he had an earpiece, and he said, yeah, mm-hmm, I got one. Mm-hmm. And he was looking me right in the eye and he said, pretty sure it's a dragon. And he was looking me right in the eye and he's like, okay, I'm going to stand in the corner and wait for instructions. And he went over and stood in the corner. I'd worked in Hollywood, all kinds of music clubs, seen everything. Hollywood, West Hollywood, North Hollywood. And at that was a time when I went to the security guys and I said, that guy just looked at me, stuck his finger in his ear, called an invisible person and told them I'm a dragon. So I don't know what we do next, but I think it's not me going back over to the table.
I'm thinking I'll have some of what he said.
Okay, crazy story, and I'll try to get through it really quickly because I don't want to take too long. But I was living in a border town while I was doing a series in Canada, but I was also having to come to America. Anyway, long story. But I had this beach house in at this border town, and so I would drive to my location in Vancouver on the after, and as I was going to work one morning, this Crown Vic drives by, and there is a really handsome black man, and he looked at me in the way. This is what my gut said. He looked at me like I was prey.
Okay.
And for just that, and I was in a black Mercedes, me in my glory, and I thought to myself, as I was on my way to work, I thought to myself, that was really weird. That was not a normal check out the pretty girl or check out the woman. It was a look of prey. So instead, and he was going, say, to the right of me, right? So it was across, a T. This is important. Mm-hmm. So I thought, let me just sit here for a little bit longer, further down. And so I did. And then I get back, I go left because he was going the other way. And as I look in my rear view, he's behind. Let me get this. No, sorry. He was the other way. So I was coming behind him, but I thought, let me let him go by. So as I get onto the thing, I see ahead of me, he is a car. The trunk is facing the road and he's kicking the wheels like something's wrong. And he's a beautiful man, gorgeous. He has a flak jacket on. Now this town is near the border. Anybody with a flak jacket in this neighborhood would have border patrol or DEA. You know, there'd be a thing. But this is a flak jacket, so my gut, I go into my spidey sense, it just said, this is not right. And he had, what do you call that, ordnance. He had bullets and stuff on his mm-hmm. belt and stuff, and he looked really cop-like or military. And I thought, there's something wrong. And instead, but not to be a bad neighbor, because it's very rare that you saw somebody of color in this neighborhood. But as I was going slowly, I didn't stop. I just went slowly. And again, like I said, the trunk was facing the road. I went by, and then as I passed him, I saw in the mirror he was running to get into the car. Now, I was in a really fast Mercedes, so I just booked it out of there. 3 weeks later, I'm watching the news, and the shooter, Mohammed, it was that killer, the serial killer, Mohammed. The guy that I saw in this
wow.
Northern Washington was the shooter, the sharpshooter that was murdering all the people.
Oh, yeah.
For three, Mohammed and Malvoy, the kid.
The sniper.
The sniper. It was
right.
Him. Now, how I know this. So his trunk, the kid must have been laying in the trunk with he had a high-powered shotgun,
right.
And they had a hole in it. So if I had stopped, God knows if I was alive. And he was looking for brown women to massacre because they reminded him of his wife. And by then, they had already killed three people. They didn't know that these killings were wrong. And he would go to my area, unbeknownst to us, because we didn't know in the neighborhood, to do practice shooting. So when I saw him that morning, he had been with his guy, that kid, practicing. But they'd already decimated three people, and they were on the tour. Is that crazy?
Wow.
So my whole spidey thing, the vibration was, that was a weird expression, like prey. And then to see him run, that was weird. But and then he was kicking the car like it was broken. And I was thinking, I'm not going to stop. But I went slow. And I think I saved my life.
Yeah,
you know?
I think you did. And that's why we need to listen to our guts.
Absolutely.
When the guy walks in the bar and he feels weird and he'd be hiding weapons.
Get out.
That's when you just
run.
Go.
You just go.
You just go. You just exit, and then maybe on your way out, you call the police and say, look, I was just in this bar, and something a little funky happened. Would you come down and just take a look and make sure everything's okay? Because randomly, you know, the police can come out, especially in a sleepy place like Thousand Oaks, where they're not doing a lot else. Just come out, and sometimes just an officer showing up
can
will make them leave.
Yeah,
because they get scared and they run because they sometimes they're wrestling about whether they're going to do something or
and
not.
And one time in a black neighborhood, I was at Ralph's and I saw a guy in a truck who didn't look like he belonged in the neighborhood, which is okay, you know.
Okay,
but he and I was waiting, so I was staring at him. And I think my staring at him, and I was staring at him in a way like, who are you? What are you doing? And I felt like he was casing it.
Sure.
But I don't know. And then he left. He looked at me like, he was probably thinking this lady's really weird. She was just staring at me. But I was just staring at him.
He's like, there's a crazy lady over here. I need to get out of here.
My vibration's telling me to leave. She's looking at me like prey.
I wasn't looking at him like prey. I was just checking him out. Like, yeah. And I'm no.
But you never know how somebody else takes
precisely.
It.
Precisely.
No, that's true. The thing.
But and it might have been a good
you
thing.
Say about listening to
yes.
our gut.
Yeah, always
what's great listen. About you and why you have all these people that love you and everything is you not only listen to it, but then you take action on it.
Thank you.
And you do. And that's where a lot of people stop. They might to their gut, okay. But it's the actual then the following through and taking the next step.
Yeah.
And then what's surprising, you get more. Intuition.
Oh, yeah, exactly. The more I follow what the universe tells me to do, the more the universe sends me messages.
Absolutely, because like anybody else, exactly. You keep telling somebody to do something, they don't do it. You go, all right,
I always tell people who are going to develop that part of themselves that, you know, some people want to see more things, some people want to be able to hear, you know, whatever. I always say anything that you get, say thank you. Because, like, we're talking about vibration, like, you know, being physical beings, we're kind of here and then different kinds of levels of spirit and endeavor, different dimensions vibrate at different levels. And if someone's trying to communicate with you or give you signs or give you a warning or something, they need to know, you know, when they give you little things here and there that you're seeing it or hearing it or feeling it so that they know that they're doing it right,
right.
That they're hitting the right wavelength, you know, like tuning into a radio.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. We have a call.
Welcome to the show.
Hello.
Hi.
It's Ann Walker calling.
Hello, my friend. How are you?
I miss you.
I am well, thank you.
I'm here with Radon. We need to do Chicks on Politics soon, Ann. We miss you.
Oh, I know. You know, I'm not good at raising the vibration other than complaining
that's
about...
That's not true.
No,
you are
about
so good.
Republicans. However, I'm so jazzed right now. I am just thrilled with the election this week.
We did it, you know. It was all us.
Yes. It was all women.
I know. No, we were talking, we said, and, you know, the Democrat in Nevada, she's moving ahead. She has moved ahead. And I just hope it works for Georgia.
Yeah.
Well, it will. You know? And we have 101 women that are new women that are in
yes!
government now.
Yeah.
101.
22 who have never been in before.
And
22 brand new
LGBT
ones.
We have
right. immigrants
yes. so
lesbian,
much representation.
Native American,
I mean let's not get too complacent.
Color.
We could do more.
We're
I could go for another 100.
Oh, yes.
But you know, it's interesting something somebody said tonight and I don't remember who it was talking about how maybe it was Suzanne was talking about how inevitably maybe it was Erica. Inevitably progress happens, and that's something I talk video shows a lot. You know, if you look at 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, and it doesn't mean you can get complacent because things can slide back, but the evolution of human beings is like it's like sand in an hourglass, and we are evolving, and the internet, for all the things about it that makes us go in the middle of the night, the beautiful thing about it is that there's information there and there's community there that people have found. You know,
right.
a gay kid in the middle of nowhere in the South is never going to feel like he's the only gay person in the world ever again because of the internet.
That's right.
And that's wonderful.
That is so beautiful because that's the thing. You're isolated in Indiana. And
not anymore.
And you have nowhere to go. And you kill yourself. And
right.
Yeah, but now you don't have
in,
to.
I'm gay in Indiana and sites come up
and
with
I'm
millions
scared,
of other people.
Or I'm whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And I know we've talked about this every time I have you around, Ann, but I've got you, so I'm going to say it again. The work that you've done through the projects that you've done with Del Shores and through the Sorted Lives series, where you have sort of stepped into this responsibility of being America's gay aunt. Like, you didn't ask to be America's gay aunt, but now you go places and you go to prides and your Grand Marshal prides and all these beautiful gay kids come up to you and they identify with you as the one relative they wish they had in your life, in their lives went up. And that's a beautiful thing, my friend. What a beautiful part of your life that is.
It is, and when we talk about raising the vibration, that has raised my vibration over the years. Because when we were back in 1995 doing the play at a little toilet on Cahuenga, and it ran for a long, long time. Then we moved it over on Melrose and ran for more. But when you are, you don't know what the impact is of the words that you're saying, and I do give him, Del Shores, all credit.
Yes.
We work those characters. We worked them for like 8 months before we ever started the play.
Mm-hmm.
So he wrote them based on who we were when we would come in and read. You know how Michael Bennett, when he had that work years, my friend Ron Coolman, was it Michael Bennett that did One Singular Sensation? What is that?
Chorus Line?
Chorus Line.
Yeah, that. Michael Bennett had a workshop for 2 years, couldn't pay anybody. And my friend Ron Coolman got on Broadway with the show, stayed forever, and what a wonderful thing that mm-hmm. can be.
Yeah.
And I was lucky enough to have that situation with Del in that he tailored that, you know, for me. And
yeah.
And my vibration moved when we did the move, started going out on the road and seeing how the people responded to us. And when you are given that, when you are elevated to a position where people look to you for some guidance, I can't tell you how many times I've been in. We're making an appearance. Somebody gets me alone, and they're telling me their story. You know, some kid came up to me in Dallas one time, and I just you're given this gift of being able to listen and to respond. But sometimes, you know, I've learned over the years, you just got to listen.
Yeah.
You know, and that helps so much.
Absolutely.
They just need somebody to talk to.
Well, and interesting, right, how Del wrote these shows for sort of his own healing as a gay man mm-hmm. growing up in the South. And then
that's
put
right.
so many of you in it. His family and his actors also grew up in the South and had different mm-hmm. experiences. And now using the shows to go and take you all to the South to heal other people that need healing. I mean, to me, that's the definition of raising the vibration, is how one person's healing and change affects other people's healing and change.
That's
until and so whenever you say you don't have a high vibration, my friend, and I know I had to talk you into doing this, being on the advisory board, because you were worried that your vibration wasn't high enough. And I think one day you were in doing Chicks on Politics with me and Radon and Robin Riker, and we all kind of talked you into it. But I'm so glad you've done it, because you have such a beautiful soul and such a beautiful spirit, important in people's lives, and I think you don't give yourself enough credit.
And I also think
probably
there's,
not.
And I think there's a misnomer or a mistaken thing when people talk about raising a vibration or being spiritual or being helpful. I think they have this idea that you're going to be turned into sort of like this puff cake. I mean, and that is sort of tragic. Raising the vibration means that you speak in dulcet tones and you're vegan. No, it means you see what is. And sometimes seeing what is sometimes isn't pretty or dulcet or, you know, are soft. It's hard. It's yeah. without. It's grim. It's life-changingly scary.
Yeah.
So
it takes a real badass to get to that point where
you can
tear away your own ego. And
in fact, I don't trust anyone. I don't trust anyone who claims to be on the spiritual path or claims to be a high vibration or claims to be a teacher who hasn't seen their dark, their shadows, their shadow self. Like, unless mm-hmm. you're not bona fide or trustworthy until you've seen how bad you can be.
Absolutely. Darby, have you seen your dark self?
Yeah. Bad boy?
Darby Hinton, have you seen your dark
all
self?
Eyes on me.
Everybody wants to know about your inner bad boy.
You're just so sweet. Is there a bad boy side in there?
Who's that?
That's Darby.
It's Darby Hinton.
You
got to
have
Darby?
All sides.
Darby, hi.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm doing excellent. You?
And thank you so much for being a part of this. And thank you for calling in, sweetheart. And I can't wait to have you back on the show.
Well, I look forward to it, love. And I'm sorry I wasn't there in person tonight.
Don't worry, friend. We're going to do more of these. I have a good feeling about this. I'm loving this.
Okay. That sounds good.
Thank you, sweetheart. Take
I
care.
I love you all.
I love
Thanks.
You too,
Bye.
Sweetie.
Bye.
See you soon.
And you know, it really was through having Ann and Radon and Robin and all the wonderful women that have done Checks on Politics with me in the studio once every couple weeks, once every month, that made me realize that we needed to start a women's outreach vibration of this. Because if a bunch of actresses can get together and have no egos and only love and become really good friends from sitting around solving the world's problems, then imagine if four women can do that in 2 hours, imagine what 200 women could do in 2 weeks, and imagine how that could grow and grow and grow and grow.
So. But you know, there is something in my travels that not everybody wants to be together. And when you look at the numbers of women that voted for him or voted for the other side, it's kind of still shocking. And somebody said to me yesterday, they voted with their husbands, they voted with their fathers, but I'm kind of horrified. I still want to say, I want to grin and say, what?
Yeah, I know.
What?
I know. Well, some people still have some work to do, and that's okay. I'm bringing in some other people that are here, and I want to make sure that they come.
Do we need to go?
No, you don't need to go. No one's going anywhere. I'm just bringing in some people that are sitting outside that need to come in.
They are.
Okay.
They're coming up in that slow elevator.
Good. Yeah, I know. That says first floor.
We take the stairs.
Second floor, I take the stairs.
We take the stairs.
There they are.
Someone.
Okay, please send Bill in.
Okay.
Oop. And tell Marianne she can take a seat anywhere she wants and out there and enjoy.
Oh,
uh-huh. Bill's coming in, and also we have two new council members that are here. Bill is here, and Rebecca is here, so they're going to come in and hang out for a minute.
I'm going to hang out for another 10 minutes, and I'm going to let you guys
and
finish.
I'll give up my seat.
Are you sure?
I need, yeah.
Okay.
If you need,
Darby, you're going to leave us.
You can stay. I don't need your seat.
Give a hug and a.
Rebecca, come on in, have a seat. Bill, have a seat in the corner there.
Hey,
everybody, welcome two of our new council members. My dear friend Bill Funt. Bill, why don't you sit over there, sweetheart?
Okay.
And my wonderful friend Rebecca Haywood.
Hi.
And so Bill is wonderful and is going to just help me out with every little thing and bring some positivity to us. Rebecca is a shaman and is going to advise us. It's wonderful to have. I have so many spiritual advisors on the council now. It's like so spiritually latent, like everything in my life. But it's wonderful to have you too. And I think basically both of you, along with Jenny Stewart, who called in earlier tonight, just joined the council a couple of days ago when I decided before this party and this anniversary, it was time to add some more folks to the council.
Did you guys come together? Because you walked in together. So I'm like,
no.
The way you just introduced them, I'm like, are they
otherwise
together?
She wants to set you up.
No. But Darby, the thing is, wasn't it confusing a little bit? So you guys just walked in together, but you're
it
not just together.
Arrived together.
Oh, that's cool. But you're together on the council.
Right, yeah. Together on the council. Are you matchmaking, you little Pisces?
I'm not. In fact, I'm not at all.
No,
I was
we love
confused.
You.
She's trying to order her world.
I like that.
I was
we
confused
all want to know what
a little
story
bit because I didn't want to.
As a matter of fact, Bill and Rebecca have never met until just now.
No, until just now.
Even though they're on the council, I like that.
They just, but they just joined the council.
Very official.
Doesn't it sound like that?
So, we have a call. Let's take the call, and then I want to talk to these two. Welcome to the 2-year anniversary party. Is this Proba?
Yes, it is. Is this the Sheena Metal?
in the flesh, my friend.
Am I experiencing Sheena Metal?
And what a good time for you to call, because like Rebecca up in person, Proboth is also a new addition to the Vibration Council, and he's going to be helping us with some of our live events and helping me put together some events, because that's what he does so beautifully. He is also a vegan and very involved in conscious eating and conscious living, and also he's going to help wonderful Raising the Vibration web series that I talked about. I adore you, my friend. What a beautiful addition to my life you are. Tell us what Raising...
I adore you, and I should tell you, I am now boycotting and protesting everything you stand for. Too much love, too much light.
You're not fooling anybody. You're not fooling anybody. What does Raising the Vibration mean to you, my friend?
I was just saying this earlier today, that there's something about seeing people in their best possible light and being part of that journey. Like, that's what it means to me.
That's beautiful. That's absolutely beautiful. And why did you miss?
Because you're amazing, and I had no choice. I think I was tortured.
Yeah, I did. I tortured you a little.
When you see people doing good and they're 100% invested in, why wouldn't you want to be part of it? Think it's, you know, as everyone that has met Sheena or will meet Sheena, she's a hugger, and you feel all the love, and she's conscious and she's lives her truth. And her truth is, I think, hopefully the truth of most of the people in this country of trying to be the best we can be. So yeah. It's exciting.
I hope so. I just do the best every day to help as much as I can. And if we all just did our all, like, put more peace, love, kindness, and unity into our lives every day, if it was just even a little tiny bit, the tsunami of change that would be affected in this world would be absolutely unbelievable. I adore you, my friend. Thank you so much for calling in.
I adore you. I have a quick surprise for you.
Okay.
Star Phoenix has, my good friend Star Phoenix has something to say to you.
Okay.
Hi, I'm Star, and I have a special song if you'd like to hear it.
I'd love to hear it.
All right.
It's called In the Rain, and it's about washing away all the negativity and bringing in the positivity.
Beautiful.
I love you more because yesterday never came, and I love you. I love you more because yesterday was the day, and I just want to say I miss you. I miss your fingers on the strings, drumming a lovely little tune. Did you kiss on my cheek because your laugh just won't too soon? Now, do you know where it started? No, it doesn't matter anyhow. I remember anyhow. I love you more because it's the day that ever came, and I just want to say I love you. I love you more because yesterday was the day, and I just want to say I love you. I miss your fingers on the keys, playing a lovely little kiss on my cheek, had your left to go too soon. So, do you know where it started? No, it doesn't matter now. I don't remember anyhow. But I remember when we were in the hills and the door, missing everything just to hear those raindrops. We never stopped, no, we never stopped. I promise to every time, every time. And then I had a flash, then I had a thing, and we started thinking, maybe we're afraid that this might be the last time. Oh, this might be the last time. Put me on a beautiful hand in the rain.
So beautiful, sweetheart. Thank you so much. We have to let you go. So we've got another call. I love you both. Thank you so much. Nice to meet you,
Star. We love you. We'll see you soon, Gina.
Thank you. Serenaded. Thank you. Somebody always winds up LA serenading us on every show. What is the story with that? It happens every time. Rebecca,
yes,
you are. I've known you for a while. You're to live with this beautiful lady, LA.
Yes. I surrender.
She sucked you in and won't let you go.
Yes.
Why did you want to be a part of this movement? And what does raising the vibration mean to you?
Oh, wow. Well, I jump at any opportunity to bring the healing, to bring the light, and that's really what raising me, to put love in front of it, no matter what it is. You were talking about the shadow. And to me, absolutely, we have to embrace that. I'm not going to say now more than ever, because we always have, right? And to me, it really is about stepping into that light, bringing that light everywhere we go, in every circumstance. You know, today, a beautiful dear friend, and that's what I want to do right now, is raise the vibration for a beautiful sister of mine, Corey Emmerich. I love you, sweetheart. And I send this prayer to you with all of these people listening, here today, here tonight. We're all with you. You are subversed. You are protected. And this opening is here for you. We are with you, sweetheart. Love you.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. Yeah. Bill, how about you?
Where did LA beckon you from?
Well, from Idaho.
Oh.
Yeah. Yes, the mountains of Idaho.
So funny, so many people from here are going.
Yeah. I know so many.
That's
people
good. You're going the other way. There's less traffic.
Exodus going. Yeah.
No, there's always traffic, Sheena. There's always traffic.
Well, I have a beautiful log home for rent in Idaho.
Oh, nice. Nice.
I probably know some people who take you up.
So anybody who wants to go to Idaho, we know where there's a log home, and please rent that, because Rebecca's going to cut the Pacific Ocean waft over her until she's immersed in the beautiful spirituality that is this beautiful city.
Yeah. Right.
Bill, how about you? Hi, why did you want to join this crazy band of people, and what does raising the vibration mean to you, my friend?
Well, I wanted to join the crazy band of people because you're the band leader, and because I love and trust you and want to be part of the things you're doing. What raising the vibration means to me is I don't know if this is unique to 12-step, but it's where I heard it, where they say that I do the program for a while, whatever program it is, they say, does life get better? And the answer is no, you do. Mm-hmm. And that really speaks to me. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's really ultimately, we can try to be a change agent for things beyond our, the only thing that we can really ever do is just be the best us we can be.
Yes.
And so yeah. So that's what raising the vibration is, and that speaks to me.
I love that.
And you also, unlike a lot of people who are this kind of good work, you have a sense of humor, which sure. I think is important.
It's very important to who I am. I think God has a sense of humor. Look Absolutely. At the platypus.
There you go.
Exactly. Look at the monkeys with the giant red asses. And that's a sense of humor, right?
Hey, don't knock a red ass.
Oh. I just thought I'd say that.
What is your safe word?
I love it. That's fantastic.
Was it red before it was?
Well, and like yes, right. sort of like Radon was talking about earlier, being a spiritual person, being a person who's conscious and aware, doesn't mean that you sit around all the time like this. And if anybody says anything funny, you say, "Spirit doesn't like it when you're funny." Right. A normal person with normal needs and wants and duties and communities you belong to and things that you love, and then also having the spiritual side of you that wants to heal the world. Mm-hmm. And it's okay to be both of those things. I mean, you don't have to all the time, when I'm with all of you hanging out, all the time, we're not just like, let's just talk about namaste. Because we have to be normal people.
I can't do it.
Yeah, I can't either. I don't want to
I
do
just
it.
Think it's bogus. And I find that, like, the more someone is, like, of that ilk, the more I'm saying, I know they're rageful. And there's not, mm-hmm. there's a lot of stuff that hasn't been brought up. And also, you guys, we have the assumption that the earth perception and how we're on top of it, that's not healed.
Yes.
It's how we're using it and how we're not replenishing. We're ungrateful for something that is just a natural, beautiful blue ball of love.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, and that's the one thing everybody talks about, you know, we're destroying the environment, we're destroying the planet. No. There is life.
Way they, longer than
they
we
haven't know. Dug deep enough not to find life. They've gone into the darkest caves, the vents at the bottom of the earth. There will be life on this planet. The only thing we're destroying is our ability to stay
our
on
habitat.
The planet. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's because we don't. That was the first time blue balls has ever been a pleasant imagery.
That's true. Yeah.
That's what this is.
I'm
is
glad
a giant.
I wasn't the only one thinking it.
And I like more
you
than
think,
one.
Guy,
the dual
you'll
universe.
Say. Yeah. Okay, perfect. We'll make a great
But you
human.
Talked about the dark side too. And you have, you know, one of my greatest examples, I love Mother Teresa, you know, who used to say, you have to appreciate God in all his hideous disguises.
Yeah. Mm.
And because she would get down there in the worst of the ghettos
yeah,
in the world.
Lepers.
And
yeah.
lift people up mm-hmm. and help them and stuff.
Poverty.
And I loved it when she came here and she was on a radio show, and I don't know exactly what it was for, but they were going to do a big city thing, and they were going to march against this or that, and whatever injustice was happening at the time. And they're like, you know, will you come march with us, and, you know, we'll put you in the front. She goes, no, I won't. And he was shocked. He goes, what do you mean? But this is such a good cause. She goes, no, I won't march against anything. You give me a cause that I can be, and I'll be in the front line.
Yeah.
But I'm forced. I don't want to be against right. anything.
Right.
And that's the right. hardest. Everything. There's so this world is so plentiful.
Yes.
That you can walk away from the guys that you think are predators. You can walk away from them if your body's saying it, and there's just so much good gratitude that people are missing out a lot of.
I agree.
And I wake up in the morning and I am grateful for the bed. I get in the shower and I am grateful that there was a team of people that diverted the mighty Colorado River to bring water into my house.
Yeah.
And then a gas line of stuff into my house to heat it to the perfect temperature. I mean, if you can just sit there and you ask why I'm happy all the time.
Yeah.
I find
it's a good shower. Now I know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good shower helps all the time.
I'm thankful that somebody got the idea to put coconut oil into conditioner. It's changed my entire life. But it really is. It's being grateful, small thing that happens to you.
If you can, before you go to sleep, instead of listening to the news and the political and what happened and all this stuff that's wrong, because there's always going to be stuff that's wrong, because there's always stuff that's right. And there's a yin and a yang. I don't care what religion you talk about. There's good and bad.
Yeah.
So if you focus on what you want, you make that good news. Think three things, five if you're really good, but mm-hmm. at least three things that you are really grateful for. And try that for 2 weeks. And each night make it three different things. Don't keep going to the same things. Mm-hmm. And just take a second after you say it and let that gratitude get into your body and feel that good.
Absolutely.
Don't just say it, but just and you wake up in the morning. I mean, I have, you know, just wake up in the morning, go through, who loves me? Who do I love?
Yeah.
And if you can't say who could? Mm-hmm. You throw a could in there. Just try it for a couple of weeks, and I think that's raising the vibration, because at the high vibration you want to do, you want to give, you want to give back everybody.
Yeah.
In this low vibration is death.
Yeah.
If you're not vibrating, you're dead.
Or you can vibrate, you know, at a low level and still be alive. I have three lists that I have. Ellie knows this because she's my best friend. I have three lists. One is, who do I love? And I write people on it all the time.
Good.
One is, who do I trust? It's a much smaller. I love a lot of people that I don't trust, but
absolutely.
I still love them. And the last one is, whose lessons am I thankful for? And it's people that I have grown because of them, and I am stronger because of them, and I am softer because of them.
And let me guess, at some point, you might have hated those people.
Not anymore.
No. No. I'm on point. I mean, usually the people that hurt us the most are the ones that give us the biggest lesson and have us have the biggest
10 years ago,
growth.
15 years ago, sure.
Yeah.
But I now when, because, you know, people get added to that list all the time because welcome to the human experience. Yeah. Now they automatically go on the thank you.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm not saying now because I'm the same way.
There was a day when I'd write their name on a piece of paper and set it on fire and throw it in the toilet. Did you miss that I'm Irish? But it doesn't. The problem is that just lowers my vibration.
Absolutely.
And that anger towards them and it, you know, ignoring them. I tell people all the time, don't ignore people, the blocking, the unfriending.
Pushing it down.
You're just giving them attention. I'm sure half the people on Facebook, well, maybe not half. I'm sure there's a lot of people on my Facebook pages that I don't speak to anymore. I never unfriend them. If they unfriend me, that's fine. Because my life hasn't changed. If you want to stay Facebook friends with me, that's fine. I don't care. But I'm not going to put any more effort into you or give you any more attention because you have shown yourself to be somebody that I'm into and I can put attention into somebody else. But the whole idea of like, I ignore them. And if I see them on the street, I cross the street. I'm thinking, well, that's giving them attention.
Yeah.
Now they know you just crossed the street because of them. And now they can twist their mustache and adjust their bowler hat because they think they really got you.
I mean, no. So there's someone who's in my life that I am
okay.
really, but the someone did something a long time ago, and I was holding on to it. And everyone's like, "You got to forgive because it only, you know, it boomerangs back on you."
Sure.
And I was thinking, but he's a douche.
Okay.
But then I thought about it, and they said, "Well, he's afraid you," and he was afraid. And that's why his behavior was so atrocious. And then I thought, but I'm getting so much pleasure at thinking, holding him into the douche category.
Okay, that's okay.
And thinking what I could do to
like,
him.
Like, what a douche. And he continues to be to other people. I'm no longer in the. There's a part of me that says, do I have to forgive him?
No.
No, I have a thing.
Integrate him?
No, I have a thing about forgiveness. This is because it's something that's always just been so fraught with.
Right.
But it's you know, saying that what they did is okay and all this stuff. And I don't believe in the concept of forgiveness because I think it's just too loaded, you know, like from the religious standpoint and from all these things. I have this thing about acceptance. If I have, you know, a trouble, I had to do this with my in-laws. You know, my mother-in-law came up. I've spoken to my mother-in-law twice since 1994. One was an accident because I answered the phone when she called the house. The other time was because my husband, and this was only a few years ago, was trying to have a conversation with her on the phone. She was losing her poo, as always, screaming like a lunatic. And he literally just looked at the phone and he hadn't spoken to her on purpose in 20 whatever years. But I didn't get to that point of not being a part of their lives because I was angry with them. I had gotten to a point where after 5.5 years, I guess, that I'd known them from the time we met till we'd been married, about 3.5 years. So I guess 5.5 years. I had processed everything about why they are the way they are. You know, I've always been like that. What makes people tick? And there were plenty of times I was angry, furious. And But I stuck with it, and I'm like, I understand she's like this because of this. I understand that they're like this because of this, da 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 da. And I got it all worked out in my head, and then I walked away. Because I understood it, but me understanding it wasn't going to make the situation better. All I did was understand it. But when I finally accepted, this is who they are.
Yeah.
And it is unhealthy for me to be involved with them, so I walked away.
You know,
and I told my husband, you need to have whatever relationship you need to have with them, but I can't do it. And I think if you can accept that that's just who they are, it's fine. Just, you know, I have my things. Namaste, away, and blessed be far from me.
Very much like that.
I don't have another call to just.
I like that also. Isn't that interesting? It's a wonderful sentence. When somebody, like somebody cuts you off and you're like, because that's, you want to see my dark side? Drive slow in the fast lane or go right there to the 405 and 101 and cut in at the last 50 feet.
When we're on the phone side. A lot, I'm usually in the car. I'm in the car. She gets plenty of that on the other side of
the thing.
Sometimes
I'm in the Walmart.
But just, isn't that interesting? Walmart. If you can say that to yourself, you know, wow, that's really interesting that person had to do that.
And I sometimes think it's important for us to let people go in to the line. Like, I will purposely make room because I don't want to feel that feeling. I'll just, like, one more millisecond, let them in.
And then I would be behind you going, why did she let him in? I can't believe that.
It's the Canadian.
And I let
if Sheena could only see me now, I'd be off the council.
But this particular person who I consider is a douche,
right?
I do understand, and I get a lot of negative pleasure still kind of thinking, because he tries to be really sweet to me, and I'm sort of like, not yet.
Okay.
I kind of want to have a session where I want to at least sort of clear with him.
Good.
I sound like a Scientologist. I'm not, but
that's okay.
I do want to unload a little bit.
Okay.
To hurt me.
You're allowed to deal with it.
I'll be over it. Okay. I don't know if I'm allowed to deal with it. I don't know if I'll get that opportunity.
No, you're allowed.
Who wouldn't allow you to?
We have someone on the line.
Yeah. Hi. Welcome to the 2-year anniversary party. Who's this?
We're having therapy.
It would be your buddy Chip Coffee.
Hello, my friend. How are you? It's so nice to hear your beautiful voice. How are you? You're on the road too, I know.
I'm on the road, and I actually fell asleep and woke up and went, oh crap, I've got to call my buddy Sheena and say happy anniversary.
I'm so glad you're calling. You are not only one of the most important people in my spiritual life, but I consider you to be like a brother, and I'm so glad that we found each other. And I tell this story, but I'll tell it tonight because it's Mom's Day, because tomorrow's her birthday.
Thank you.
My mother didn't have the guts to tell anybody about her psychic gifts her whole life because she was so scared, being born in the South in 1933 and then being orphaned. And she didn't have didn't even start talking about it till I was in college and we had moved out here because she felt like LA was a safe space for her. And Chip, of course, was the star of a wonderful show called Psychic Kids Children. I didn't even know my mom watched the show. And meanwhile, Chip had done my show a couple of times and I had no idea my mom even knew what the show was. And one day I came downstairs, I was staying at her house, and she was down there watching a marathon of Psychic Kids Children of the Paranormal. And I said to her once, that's my buddy Chip, you know this show? And she looked at me and she had tears in her eyes. And those of you that know my mother know, she maybe cried 5 times that I saw in her life, given anything for there to have been a Chip Coffee when I was a little girl.
Aww.
So you are forever my brother for all of that beautiful energy that you gave my mama, my friend, and I will never forget that. And you are such a gift to my life.
That is a beautiful story, and I wish I could have known your mom.
Me too.
And incredibly special mom, like my mom was to me.
Yeah.
We had amazing relationships with those women.
We did.
And they're forever in our lives and in our hearts, but we sure do miss them, don't we?
We sure do. And I don't really have much of a chance to miss mine because she talks to me all the time. I think we probably have more comments alive because as a matter of fact, I was doing a friend show last night, and we were celebrating two of her friends that were having a birthday. It was yesterday. My mom's birthday is tomorrow. And I said something like, she said something like, I'm sure your mom's going to show up. And I said something like, yeah, because my mom's always here. And I heard my mom say, don't make it sound like I have nothing else to do. Watching. My mom is very busy in the afterlife. And she doesn't just hang around me because she has nothing else to do. I just want everyone to know. But I think that we, you know, our mothers shape who we are. And when they pass, we live, but we're never the same. And when people say to me, are you sad because your mother died? I always say devastated. And two, I'm always surprised I'm still here because I didn't think that she would live past my death. And I know LA's known me since I was 14. And I always said that. I don't know if I'm going to live when mom dies. She gave me this beautiful gift of letting me go. And she gave me this beautiful gift of of working with the universe to inspire me to start this movement, so that I funnel sadness into doing something for the world. And as long as I'm doing her work, it's like she's still here. And that's maybe the greatest gift that she ever gave me. And to have all of you wonderful people around me and people on the advisory board like you, Chip, that I trust so much and that I love so much, doing the work and following on her legacy of the things that she believed in the spiritual world, I just cannot thank you enough, my friend.
Well, I love you so much. Happy anniversary.
Thank you, sweetheart.
Happy birthday to your mother.
Thank you, sweetheart. You have a wonderful time. Well, let's get you on the radio for some good radio soon. You and I need to have a radio chat and an off-the-radio just friend chat.
Love that, my darling. I'm going to roll back over and go back. I couldn't let this opportunity pass by.
Thank you, sweetheart.
You know how much I love you.
It's so good to have you here. Thank you, my friend. I'll talk to you soon.
Bye, darling.
Take
Bye.
Care. My wonderful friend, Chip Coffee, everybody. And somebody else is with me.
They were.
Okay, they'll come back.
Oh, no, here they are.
Oh, they're back. Hi, welcome to the show.
No, no, go ahead.
No. I don't know if they heard.
Hello?
Hello?
Hi.
Sheila?
Yeah?
Hi.
Is it Ernest?
How are you? Yes.
It's my good friend, Ernest Thomas. How are you, sweet man? It's so good to hear your voice. How are you?
Love 2 years, huh?
2 years of this crazy thing. How about that? Talk about something that changed my life forever. And how honored am I to have somebody with so much spirituality and such a beautiful soul like you as part of my advisory board? You're just the bomb, my friend. I always feel better when you're around.
Well, baby, you got so huge a heart and love, and we need it more than ever, as you know, from what happened last night.
I know. Poor babies.
Thank you. Thank you so much for being you.
Thank you, my friend. Thank you. What does raising the vibration mean to you, Ernest?
Well, we're with love and no judgment at all, just fully embracing our authentic selves without judging each other, no matter the color, no matter the gender or sexual persuasion or ethnic background. If only we could do that, Lord Jesus! I was scared every time I saw an older white man today. I'm thinking that someone's going to shoot me, you know? So, and they were being friendly, you know? It's like they were overly friendly, like, look, I'm not, you know, because I have shades on, I got a truck, and I'm white, I'm not out to get you. You know, people overly, you know, extending themselves, too, like, you know, and I appreciated that, you know? Because we shouldn't live in that fear either, you know?
No.
And that's why I pray for and wish for all the time, you know.
Thank you. Thank you so much for being a part of this project, and you need to come sit with me in the studio, and we'll do some radio soon. I'd love that.
I'd like to say
something.
Please, Ernest, my friend Bill Font would like to say something to you.
I'm excited that you're calling when I'm in the studio, because I've been a degrees of separation. I've been a fan for years. What's happening was always just a show that just always made me feel good. It was always infused with a lot of sweetness.
Yeah.
And, thank you so much.
And I think Soul Turtletaub, he actually used to be friendly with him, and I think that he. He infused some of that in there himself, because he was such a sweet. He is a very sweet man.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Saul, definitely. And Bernie and.
Yeah.
Wow, man! I didn't.
And also, your TV sister Danielle neutered my cat, so I feel like I know you already.
Was she trying to?
Yes. No, she didn't inadvertently neuter my cat. It wasn't a mistake. She knew something else.
She slipped out a banana peel, Darby.
She deliberately neutered my cat.
Oh, that's fantastic. Ernest, I love you, my friend. Thank you for the call-in. We appreciate it.
Nice to meet you.
All right. Love you. Take care. Look forward to seeing you.
If you're watching and you don't know what Bill and Ernest were talking about, Ernest, of course, was the star of a show called What's Happening, and the girl that played his sister. And I don't know where she's a vet, but apparently she's, if you're one of Bill Funt's cats, grab your balls, because he knows where she's a vet.
They can't anymore.
Yeah. The new ones might come.
Actually, interestingly, she was more... gentle in the process of neutering my cat than her character ever was on the show with the rapier-like wit.
Yeah.
My cat got off easy.
Yeah, I agree. you know, Ernest is another one of those guys that I love because he has so many positive stories about his time in the business and looks at everything from a very glass half full perspective. He's just a sweet man. And it's interesting. Sometimes people ask me, how did I pick out people for the advisory board? And I always say kind of the same way that I founded the movement. I just follow my soul. And I think, oh, that one, nope, that one, no, that. And L.A. can tell you, like, I don't ask anybody. I just tell her, guess who's on the council now? Roboff, right. Bill, Rebecca, Jenny. Like, I just get the idea for whose energy works and whose energy doesn't work. And of, you know, being fun and being a feisty person and being a person that laughs heartily, but also being somebody that really understands that we're trying to make the world a little softer and a little gentler and a little more aware and a little more wonderful, but not from a pretentious place, from a place of really wanting to help. Friends of mine, I went to a spiritual community, and it was interesting to see what the breakdown was of the folks at the spiritual conference. So half the folks were kind of like loving hippies. We just want to help everybody, like a community theater cast of Godspell. And those were my people. And the other people, like, they had, like, the, you know, they wore, like, the bicycle leotards, and they had, you know, they went out there, and they really spoke to you about what was wrong with you and how you should fix you. And I thought, I have absolutely nothing in common with these people. But the cast of Godspell people, I'm really digging that. And I realized that even in the spiritual world, there are my people and not my people.
Especially.
And yes, and my people are people living with God and living with the universe inside of them all the time, but are trying to help people in a lovely way. Like, you know, buy a Girl Scouts cookies. Give a homeless person a hamburger. I mean, if you see a dog in a car, say hello to it. Like, just
vote.
Just lovely little things every day. Those are my people, not, you know.
I just did jury duty.
Oh.
And the young man was a gang member, apparently, allegedly. And they asked me, you know, because, you know, when you get jury duty, they ask you about it. And I said a couple things. I said, first of all, I believe in Black Lives Matter. So no matter what he's done in his favor. Also, I said, gangs are a family structure. And if you happen to have to be in a gang, that means that you need the structure.
Right.
So what's wrong with that?
And let me guess. You didn't stay on the jury.
They let you go.
No. But my feeling was, you know, we look at this thing as they're in a gang. Immediately, they're in Black Lives Matter. And the fact it's, you know, I'm sure he probably did the behavior that was getting him in trouble. But I also think there's a lot of pressure.
I agree.
We should at least hold that, too.
Absolutely. Welcome to the show. Hi, caller.
Hey. Hi. How are you?
Hang on one sec. We're letting Ray Dawn go. I love you.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here, my friend.
In this party.
You're welcome in anything I do. I'll see you soon on the radio. Chase Masterson, welcome. And welcome to our advisory board. How wonderful to have you as a part of this movement.
Oh, thank you so much. And congratulations, Sheena. You've done such amazing work in the last year. It's growing.
Thank you, sweetheart. And I said this earlier about another Brianna Brown, who's on our advisory board, but I'll say it about you too, that you're sort of my inspiration because you also run a nonprofit, and listening to you talk about yours inspired me to keep going when I first founded this one. So thank you for being a role model.
Well, that's really nice to hear. Thank you. Well, we're all in this crazy work together, and obviously I say crazy work because it's not easy, but it is worth it.
Yes.
As I'm sure you've found already.
Yeah. Yes. Well, yes. And I love it so much every day. I think it's the most wonderful thing. But really, I knew nothing about it. I knew nothing about even starting a peace movement. So I just followed my soul. And then about a year after we started, I got a download in August of last year to make it a nonprofit and to open my own spiritual practice. And I thought, and literally that one came to me in a Walmart parking, everything down and what it's supposed to be called and what the, and then again going to GoDaddy and ordering the URL. So I'm the first one to tell you, I know nothing about this. This is a totally different world for me. I didn't study this. I didn't train for this. I'm a trained actor. I'm a talk radio host who took a job for one night and stayed for 25 years. Like, I just follow
yes,
my soul.
I know.
You know, I don't, and I think I was going to do this, but sometimes things happen in your life and they change you. And when my mother died, I realized I was supposed to add an additional fork in my path, and this was it, because it was everything that I had benefited from in my life by being hers that I saw other folks struggling with. I thought, well, if I could just share her teachings with people, maybe it really is, you know, my life's work and my passion. And everybody's been so wonderful about coming on board, you included. And I thank you for bringing your light and your beauty to this. And what does Raising the Vibration mean to you, my friend?
That means so much, and I really appreciate that. It, you know, thank you for your incredible easy forging your own path. And I mean, when you don't have someone, you know, holding your hand each step of the way,
it's
as you haven't had and as I haven't had, you just figure it out. And it's like, you know, I hope this is an inspiration for anybody else out there who's wanting to do a nonprofit or your own good work in the world, like making a salad. You just think, oh, I don't know how to do this. What do I need? Okay, maybe I need some spinach and some tomatoes. I guess maybe some, I don't know, lettuce and olives. And you put it together just by common sensing it, you know?
Yeah, and yeah. And just with love.
That's how it's done.
Love and elbow grease, no right?
Difference. Yeah, exactly. No. Have you found that it's been inspiring for other people? I'm sure
yes.
You hear it all the time.
Yes, and I tell other people, they say, I have an idea for something, and I'm like, please do it. Please start your thing. Please come and do it. I would love that.
Right.
That's what I would like for everyone to do their thing. And, you know, we have a place on our web called our Vibrational Warriors page, and it's basically other people that run nonprofits, and certainly I'm going to put yours there, Chase, other people that run nonprofits that's missions align with what we're doing. So that when you're on our website and you're seeing what we do, you can also go and see wonderful people that I know that I believe in what they're doing, so that your efforts and different causes expand. So you're not just there to see us. You're also there to learn about other people. And hopefully you'll go to their sites and they will do the same. And and it will just grow and grow and grow and grow. And people,
you know,
will find
it. It's almost like you're raising the vibration.
It is, right? It's
it
almost,
is.
Darby, like I'm raising the
there
vibration.
You go.
Wow.
Chase, thank you.
Who else is being up with us? I'm sorry. I wasn't sure that if there was anybody else on.
We're all here in the studio. You're on the phone. Darby Hinton is here, Rona Rosner, Bill Funt, L.A. Weiss, Rebecca Haywood, Scott Travis, and me. We're all here together. I adore you, my friend. Thank you for this, and let's get together and do some radio soon. I'd love it.
Well, I wish I was with you, but I look forward to seeing you all again, and congratulations.
Thank you for being my friend. We appreciate it. We
love you. Thank you, Sheena. Talk to you soon.
Me and all my personalities.
Bye.
Love Chase. Thank you, Chase. No, thank you, Chase. Yes, thank you, Chase. Crazy much, Sheena? Rona, welcome.
Thank you.
She's just figuring it out.
Oh my goodness.
Ronan has come out of the tech booth and in here now being a part of this. Remember when I first told you that I was going to found this movement, and I thought, is he going to think I'm crazy? Because here I work for him at the station every day, and now I'm like, and guess what other crazy thing I'm going to do in all my free time? And you were great and responded by saying that you wanted to know if you could come on board and be a part of it. And mm-hmm. I appreciate that, because Ronan does all our technical. He's our technical advisor. He's who I come to when something's funny. He's like, what does this mean, GoDaddy? have you ever been on a council for a nonprofit before?
No, never.
What appealed to you about this, and what does Raising the Vibration mean to you?
I've been through change in the last 2 or 3 years. Having been suffering from depression and PTSD for many years. And finally, the last 3 years, I've been taking care of myself.
Nice.
So that's the vibration that I'm raising.
Yeah.
Yeah, through therapy and medication. So the whole vibration, if you remember, I asked you not long ago, what is that vibration? What did people mean? Because I was listening to an audiobook. And they were talking about it. And I understood what it means finally when I, you know, took care of myself. So that's it. And then I do that. I was like, do you need a website?
Yeah. So Ron is creating our nonprofit site, and it's beautiful. And he puts up with all of my weirdness and my anal retentiveness, and he's amazing. Because sometimes my brain works a lot, and sometimes it doesn't work at all. And so we just never know what we're going to get when we get up in the morning. It's much like owning a Ferrari. You never quite know, is it going to start? And I have, you know, horrible ADD and squirrel. And he's wonderful about putting up with my strange brain that either works a whole lot or not at all. And the fact that I think super big, right? Like I can't just do a half hour broadcast. I have to do a four hours with 97 people involved. because that's just how I am. And he knows that shows for so many years.
Not only that, but put it together like 3 days.
advance. Of course. Yeah, of course. Because it's
totally
me.
Last minute.
I get an idea. That's I get the fine. Approval. I come down here and then suddenly we're rocking and rolling. But it looks like there's a lot of people that are paying attention to it tonight and enjoying the Facebook Live and commenting. And that makes me thrilled. And I'll continue to put the link out there so more people can see it. So watching it being replayed. Thank you so much. I love, Ronan, that you are – one of my favorite things about you is that you're such a smart man and you have absolutely – and you're such a talented guy and you have no ego about it. I mean, you deal with all these crazy personalities and all these 80-something radio hosts and they all like your children. They come to you younger than your own kids. But you're so good at, like, navigating personalities and sort of staying lovely with everybody despite how easy or difficult they're being. And that is truly a feat.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Yeah, I think so there's always a joke that I'm one of the few in LA that doesn't go to auditions or in between gigs.
Yeah.
I'm okay with being behind the scenes, knowing that, you know, I do a lot to run this entire, you know, that machine.
You're the man.
And thank you. And, yeah, making awesome. Sure all my hosts are happy.
You're and also Suzanne left, so we couldn't even tell her, but Ronan Page. So there are two of us that don't. How strange is that? Rebecca, what is it about Los Angeles? What is it about the energy of this place that has made you want to locate here, you know, temporarily or forever and ever?
Oh, wow. Name one. Really, I just have felt so warmly welcomed. And it feels like, you know, I'm in the mountain kind of hanging in my shaman cave. And it's been a lovely space for me, and it allows me to raise the vibration and keep my vibration very high and help people at a distance. But I want to get in the mud.
Yeah.
You know, that's what it's just, and I'm meant to be here.
And you know,
I just can't deny it.
You and I had this talk the other night over dinner.
Yeah.
That some people who are very spiritually sensitive really just, like, I have friends that are like, oh, I just want to move to a mountaintop in Vail and never talk to anybody again. And it's like, okay, that's your thing. My thing is, and Rebecca, your thing is that we want to be in the middle helping people in a city with tens of millions of people and actually be here. And everybody's spiritual work is meant for a different place. Mm-hmm. And so I understand how you feel, because I'm constantly, like, everybody's like, how can you live in LA and do what you do? Yeah. Don't you want to move to, and they give me like 20 places I should want to move to. And I always say, look, I love almost everywhere I go. I'm supposed to be here in the middle of all of this. And there's so many good people here. This is such a tribal town. People say, I can't make any friends in LA. And I'm like, really? Like, if I had five lifetimes, I wouldn't have time to see all the people in my life that I love. Because it's so easy to connect to people, and people are so open-hearted, and everybody's doing something and doing a... Be honestly, look how many people were here tonight. Just the seven of us could probably spend the next 3 hours doing a show just talking about all the things we're doing and all the things we want to do. Mm-hmm. And that's what's so exciting about LA, is it she kind of grabs you by the unneutered balls. She kind of grabs you by the balls and, let's do a project. Let's do something. What are you doing? Let's get excited about something. And I find that people that come here who are sort of like, well, I'm going to take LA over and I'm going to show everybody who I am and I'm going to be amazing and LA is going to worship me. And I always think, yeah, you're going to be on a bus in 2 months going home.
Right, because, with no money.
Right, with no way. Because this is not that kind of town. This is a town that says, partner with me, co-create with me. Let's make something. Let's do something beautiful. And people that get that really get it. And people that get that are doing a million things. You know, Scott and I were having a conversation a couple of months ago about people in our lives that one day call us up and say, well, I don't know if I can be going on it. You know, so many people. I'm like, whoa, those people got to go. Because I love that you're all so busy and you all have so much going on and you all have fantastic things you're excited about. That's the energy that keeps propelling us forward. Mm-hmm. And then that becomes the energy that helps us to raise our vibrations. Mm-hmm. Because if we're going to get people out of the doldrums, because I really am in a melancholic state since 9/11, and we have not recovered from that. And if we're going to get people out of that and get them feeling really good and productive and positive in their lives and make them realize that supporting a candidate or supporting a party isn't necessarily being against something else. Like you said, Darby, it's more important to be for some and get people to a place where they're more centered and more happy, and we're getting people to a place where then they become healthy enough and healed enough to go on and do work with other people. If we're going to get to that place, it has to be through outreach. It has to be through love. It has to be a little bit at a time. And it has to be with us working with the natural we live, not trying to fight against it. Mm-hmm. And it's certainly not going to happen with ego, and it's not going to happen with bullying. It's not going to happen with us suddenly telling the world, we're going to tell you how many friends you can have and how you can live and what your life should be. Mm-hmm. It's going to come from all of us just saying, can't we all just work on this together and make something beautiful? And our advisory board 100% gets that. And that's why you're all here. That it's about, like, when you were talking about the things you think about before you go to sleep.
Right.
When I go to lay my head on the pillow at night, I always think, was this a good day? And 99.9% of the time I can say yes. Sometimes I can say, oh my God, LA at 3 in the morning. Oh my God, the douchiness level of this. But I can almost always, as I close my eyes, which is probably why I sleep so well, right, say, this was a good day.
Mm-hmm. And what did I learn today? If you can't say it was a good day, well, what did I learn?
Exactly. How can I make tomorrow a better day?
How did that help me grow?
Exactly. How can I work on it? Stock in what our individual days are like.
Oh, yes.
And spent less time worrying about what
everybody
things we
else
want.
Is.
Right, and what things we want from our life that haven't happened yet. Because we all have a huge sack of that. Things we want that haven't happened yet. I just
it's
said huge
desire.
Sack.
It's what keeps
this is
us
not
going.
A testicle show. But I did just say huge sack as I looked at Bill.
Without a sack.
Little radio girl from
balls,
What's Happening.
We got blue balls.
I know, right? We got everything tonight. We got radon safe word.
We had monkeys with red asses.
We had
earlier,
that's right. Red
too,
asses, yeah.
We haven't yet had monkey balls, so I'll just throw that one
okay,
in.
Okay, you throw that one in.
Just so you don't worry too much, the cat is dead.
Oh.
So
I'd be too if you
not due to the castration.
Because
no,
of the.
No, she survived the neutering.
But there is a karmic, there is a karmic justice or strangeness or irony about the fact that this girl, who obviously is a very sweet person, played the nastiest little horrible person on What's Happening, and now she spends her life neutering cats.
Cutting balls off.
Yeah. What? Now she's a ball imitator.
Life imitates art.
Exactly. And this is how we laugh, even though we're spiritual people.
Right.
But, you know, it's also about tribe and about friendship and about, you know, my dream in the next 6 months, year, 5 years, 10 years, is that all of you get to know each other better and make all happier when we have more love in our life.
Absolutely.
Actually, it was really funny. It was years later, I happened to be watching a rerun of What's Happening with said cat, and I said to him, ooh, you remember her?
That's funny. I wanted to touch on something that...
Please.
These are bothering me, sorry. Because Ronan was saying...
Don't cut them off.
I know, right? how you were talking about taking care of yourself, mm-hmm. and that's how you raise the vibration. And it's true, because we can only control ourselves, you know, and I've been right there with you. I go in and out of it. The depression... It's not been very pretty lately, has it, Sheena?
No.
And, you know...
But I love
and,
you no matter what.
And it's, you know, it's just, you know... And, there's something that I've done really forever, despite it, is I've never taken it out on other people. You don't even know what's happening. You know, I might just be at home for days, like not doing anything, paralyzed. But when I leave the house, it's like I leave it there. You know, my daughter, unless she really pushes my buttons, doesn't suffer for it. You know, she's going to be 10 next week. So,
she's
you know,
so big.
She's a Spitfire. And for Ford and that, I don't, you know, yes, things they do might irritate me, but they know, and we have this agreement. You know, if I'm acting like, you know, it's not you. I'm not taking it out on you. You know, this is about me. And you know, there's that little Sunday school hymn, let there be peace on earth and let it begin with me. It's all feeling better. Because if people are feeling better about themselves, this is another thing, too, is that people who are caught up in this, you know, adversarial tension, like I said before, not just political, just anywhere, it's because they're hurting for some reason. You know, like they have a history that brought them to this point where they need to fight back anytime anybody says anything or does anything. And as my husband and I have been together, it'll be 30 years next week. Our 28th wedding anniversary is Sunday. And we've never had an argument. And people are like, how?
Wow.
And I'm like, because we know that we're not.
No mayors?
We've never had an argument because we just kind of had these agreements from the beginning that it's not me against you. It's like kind of us, not really against the world, but us kind of taking on the world. And we talked about pet peeves early on. We talked all these weird things. It's like, so we both do things that irritate years ago. And we both still suck at. Like, I still leave cabinet doors open. It doesn't, you know, but the thing is, he knows I'm not doing it to piss him off.
Right.
You know, and I know that the things he does are just habits that he's not doing to piss me off. So there's no reason to fight about it. You know, and when people have conversations, like if you're trying to make a decision, you know, I think we should da-da-da-da or whatever, and he'll say, what about this and what about that? And the thing is that people automatically, too many people automatically take that as they're not valuing my opinion, and now I need to argue with them to defend myself. But we're not. We look at it as brainstorming. I have this idea, he has that idea, I have this idea, and we come together and we
think. All arguments are a cry for help.
Right.
I mean, whenever you're in an argument with somebody, both people, it's a cry for help,
right,
in one way or the other, like you said. So that's, everybody would be so much happier if you realize we cannot, should not, and will never be able to control what other people think or do.
Right.
No matter get where you want to be, get in the state
right,
like you. And if you do that and start looking at the good stuff more, as we said earlier, more good stuff comes to you.
More good stuff.
It's like,
then you can help other people.
Right.
And if they don't want help, they don't want help.
Right.
And then you move to the next one who does.
Pearls and twine.
Right. Right.
I mean, there's always been people like that, and there always will be. And if you sit there and keep trying to argue to the swine, you're going to get down in the mud with them and wrestle.
Right.
You give them your best. You try to lead by an example, not a warning. I mean, I have a mantra that I say to myself, and one of it is, I'm an example, part of the solution. And, yeah, and that's what rolls. Mm-hmm. And that's, you've been asking everybody, what's moving the vibration?
Right.
That's moving the vibration.
Yeah. Yes. And you were talking about the gratitude, you know, and all of that. And it's, you know, I thought this was great. This was years ago. There was some guy, I think he even ended up on the Oprah show or something. He was a minister. Bracelet thing about complaining, and so you put this purple rubber bracelet on, you know, like the Livestrong ones or whatever, you put it on your wrist one morning, and you had to try to go 30 days without complaining about anything.
Right.
One little thing out of your mouth, and you had to move that bracelet to the other wrist, and you started your challenge. Like,
most people couldn't do that for a week.
Most people couldn't. But
yeah,
but the thing is, the people that did, I mean, even if they made it 2 weeks or 3 weeks or whatever, found that their lives completely changed. And it's not that their lives changed, because the same things that were happening to them no matter what, but they were focusing on the good things, and they were letting the niggly little, so their perception of their lives changed.
Like the book, Don't Sweat the Small Stuff, and it's all small stuff.
Right.
Oh, don't sweat the small stuff.
Yeah,
it's
and
so
what's
important.
Don't sweat the petty things, and don't pet the sweaty things.
That's probably good too. Yeah, that's probably a good one too.
But yeah,
it's because we're seeing everything 160 characters at a time,
yep,
and everything is breaking news. You know, breaking news. There's nothing to talk about. Breaking news.
Right.
We now are so focused on little tiny things that are happening from second to second to second, and we're piecemealing through our lives with drama and tragedies. And we're never stop picture level, because we can't get out of the hamster that can't get off the wheel. Mm-hmm. And the wheel goes from, oh my God, what's the next drama? What's the next drama? What's the next bit of chaos? And we've started becoming very small, minutian thinkers in that respect, where we're thinking now about, we're more focused on fixing the little tiny things than we are. Things are always flying at us. Mm-hmm. And inevitably that becomes our undoing.
Yeah. You really want to take a challenge. Try not listening to the news. Try that for 2-3 weeks. Without 3 weeks, how could you do that? How can you? If it's bad enough, you're going to be told about it.
Yeah.
And people can't wait to. Instead of listening, go do something positive. Read a great book. Go admire the sunset.
True.
Talk to your kids.
Most of all, disconnect. Disconnect from the media.
New to your cat.
Yes. Yeah.
New to your cat. No, don't new to your cat.
Yeah.
I think.
But absolutely.
With what you said. Yeah, like you said, everything is handed to us. Something after. We really don't have even the time to dwell into something, because there's always something new coming up in such a. Duration that people really need to disconnect, and the problem is that all the missing with us,
and it's like a car accident. You know, everybody slows down to see the car accident. Nobody slows down for the sunset.
Right. I always say that all the time.
Grabs your attention.
I always say that if somebody was giving away daisies on one side, and on the other side someone had been decapitated, people would just be running to look at the dead body,
yeah,
and completely ignoring
and
the beneficiary. friends would start freaking out. No more videos of decapitated people on my page. And then it would become a whole thing. Then it would become a fight. For
why am
put,
I laughing?
Should you
that,
put decapitated
so
people
right.
on your page or not? And that would become the whole thing. Yeah,
did you just
absolutely.
Say decaffeinated.
Decapitated. If you're decaffeinated, I'm a decaffeinated person, nobody wants to stop and look at me on the side of the road. I'm not even high on caffeine. But yeah, I think that that's and I think that that there are people, like I said in the first hour, there are those who thrive on drama and chaos, and their middle name is how to keep us away from, because we're never and have the kind of strength to do what we want to do if we're constantly being distracted. I mean, I'm not proud of this, but when I got tended for termites and I had to take my Scorpio cat, who had not been out of the house in 15 years, out, and I may have put the cat carrier in my bedroom, and every day I threw Whiskas Temptations in it, and she started to think that this and her unlimited supply of Whiskas Temptations, and then one day the door closed and she had to go to La Quinta Inn. So, you know, we're not doing what we want to do with our lives, because every time we start to think about something good, a Whiskas Temptation gets thrown at us. Like, have you ever noticed energetically that whenever you're really getting revved up to get something done in your life, it has a negative energy and distracts you? I call her at all hours, yes, and say, just when I get rolling on something, and this is going to be the one weekend that I have nothing to do but work on the movement and finally get everything, yeah, for the website to Ronin, some negative thing comes in and distracts me. And life is really about, you have to stay the course, yeah, stay the force of good, in spite of the fact that this weird minutia is constantly going to be thrown at you.
For me, it's usually something like, I call you and say, well, I fell in the tub, or...
Yeah,
I got injured on Haunted Mansion. As those both actually happened last week, but yeah.
And for me, it's
stupid stuff like that.
For me, it's almost always a person thing.
Yeah, long story.
Wow. You know, but that is never going to be. Well, I happen to think it is perfect, but
right,
what people think as perfect,
there will always, right, be
there's
distractions.
There's never going to be nirvana. Yes.
Right.
There's,
yes,
never going to be somebody that's hungry and homeless. There's,
yes,
never going to be the bad, because you have to have the bad and the good. It's just, right, there's,
but
two,
that's why
halves.
You have to be peaceful within yourself.
Focus in your energy. Are you going to put the energy? You know, there are a lot of organizations out there, God bless them, that keep helping the ones that are messing up and doing bad. I would like to see more that are helping the ones that are doing good.
I agree.
That's why I don't like the news. Even if it's not in your neighborhood, they'll find something going wrong and terrible. Bedroom. All the great things that happened in your town, all, yeah, the wonderful charities that have actually helped people. So, it's more of an effort to look for the good.
Mm-hmm.
And like we were saying, you know, she was asking about forgiveness and all that.
Yeah.
And I agree with you. You know, especially if you're fighting it. Oh, I'm going to forgive that person. But if you just, man, isn't that interesting? Isn't diversity wonderful? That's what keeps it all exciting.
Yeah, and to me, like, forgiveness is forgive. It's to give back an energy. It's not to excuse the energy.
There you
know,
go.
Like you were
I
saying.
Like,
so it really is a giving back. And so to me, you know, her question about anger and, well, do I have to integrate him? Of course not. You,
right,
are entitled to your anger. You don't have to integrate him. Why would you want to? What you do need to integrate is the declaration of that anger. That is,
yes,
what is leading and calling. And then it's easy to let go, because you've made your declaration, which, to,
yeah,
me, when I make those declarations,
so, well, when you said no...
Don't tell them.
You bet when a Scorpio gets that look on their face, like you're done, you better start backing away slowly.
Yeah, when we get quiet, that's when you want to watch.
But
out,
I think that's
too.
An important trait, and that's a trait I never had. Mm-hmm. I always forgave. I always asked people back into my life. And then when my mom died,
right,
I was talking earlier in the show about how when my mom died anymore, that were things that she always told me. She used to always say very eloquently, "Stop taking everybody's shit, kid." And I didn't really listen until she was dead. And that's sad, but I didn't. But, you know, she had this theory, and maybe because she was a Scorpio, that once somebody had crossed a line, there was no reason for them to be in your life anymore. You shouldn't dwell on it. You shouldn't think about them all the time. You shouldn't, you know, plot revenge on them, although sometimes Scorpios do. But you should let it go. And I remember there was a woman, and I've told the story before, who was so awful to my mother. My mother thought they were such good friends. And then one day they were planning an event for, my mom was involved in the Embroidery Guild, and this woman at the last minute with someone else, didn't tell her. My mom got stuck at this event with no place to stay. Mm-hmm. It was very embarrassing for her. And that was it. She was done. And, mm-hmm, for years that woman would come around and try to get in her life and try to get in her life and try to get in her life. And my mom would very casually say, I don't know, she wants to keep talking to me. Apparently she doesn't know she's dead. And that was it. She was beauty insane. This is the energy that I don't want in my life anymore.
Yeah.
And there's nothing bad about it. Doesn't make you a bad person. It's okay to just keep walking. You can't be friends with everybody.
Yes, and you've used that on your list you talked about. That person wouldn't be on the trust list.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you. I was thinking the other night, and I think I'm going to put a Facebook post up about this, just saying thank you to every stronger, softer I have learned from. We need to thank those people sometimes, because sometimes the biggest growth spurts come from those challenging situations with people, and just be thankful for that. And it's okay to, like, you know, why for a while, and it's okay to be like, call and hang up if you need to for a while. I mean, you're a person, you're allowed to do it.
Building muscle can hurt.
Exactly. Yeah. But then at some point, it needs to be let go, because it's taking up too much space in your world and in your psyche.
Yeah, and what we say no to is what we're saying yes to over here.
Exactly. You know? Exactly. Yeah. And there is the same energy in being angry at someone or in ignoring them as there, because you're still getting behavior first and foremost in your mind.
Right.
And they're just not worth it. Mm-hmm. But you all are wonderfully worth it. Mm-hmm. And I just want to thank everybody. You know, our council, our Vibration Council this year has expanded to almost 20 people. And I think there are about 40 on our advisory board. And just some of them called in tonight. We didn't have enough room for everybody to give me a personal note and thank me and said that they're so happy to be involved. This was one of those things where I had no idea if anybody would get behind this. I didn't know what anybody thought. Poor L.A. and Scott had to. But I didn't know if anybody was going to like it. I didn't know how anybody was going to feel about it. And the enormous reaction from everyone of this thing that has really become my life's work. I mean, there's no way in the world that I can thank you enough. So as we get ready to wrap this up, because we're coming to our time, I just want to say a couple of things about peace, love, kindness, and unity. So my mama, happy birthday tomorrow, Lena.
Happy birthday.
You're the best ever. My mama believed that vanity, that we didn't search enough for peace. We didn't embrace it when we found it. We weren't looking for enough inner peace, that we never used enough love. We were never kind enough, and that we, as people, had trouble becoming united. And these were things that she always felt humanity struggled with. So when I founded this movement, because I felt like that's what I saw lacking in our country after the 2016 election, and that's what I saw lacking in communities, it's what I saw lacking in the world and amongst the Homo sapiens species. So when I do the Raising the Vibration show every Monday night, as Ronan can tell you, I always end with something. And since this is a beautiful four-hour Raising the Vibration with this, here's the thing about peace. It's one of those things, like we talked about earlier, about being able to put little baby steps into your life on your road to healing. We're never going to wake up one day and it's going to be like it's going to look like Candyland out and there's suddenly going to be world peace. It's not going to happen like that. In order, as a country, as a species, in our communities, we need to begin to, in our hearts and souls, envision peace inside of us. Think about what peace would feel like. Sit with that. Think of ways that we can individually, from the inside out, become more peaceful, so that we can bring that peace out into the world and let the peace climb. When I talk about how I believe in world peace, and I do believe in world peace, I don't know that it will happen in my lifetime, but I believe in my heart of hearts that someday we will get it right and it will happen and we will live in a peaceful world. And we will realize at that point on this little learning planet soul school we call the Earth, that what the universe wants for us is that peace, the best place to look in love. Find love, live in love, cherish love, look for love everywhere. Like Rebecca said, it's all about love. Love is around you all the time. There is love and beauty and gorgeousness and gentleness and wonderfulness everywhere you go. See it and allow yourself to feel love for it. If you see it in a coffee shop, like my dear niece, LA's kid, that I love like she's my own, I love her so much. Just seeing her face makes me know that love is real. Just seeing my cat staring at me, and I know it's because she wants Whiskas Temptations, but cut me some slack, just makes me realize how much love is real. You know, seeing Ronan the day after I started here at Talk Radio, so our 10th anniversary is coming up, her birthday and my anniversary. I mean, just seeing these beautiful, gorgeous, hopeful things in the world. If it's a monkey with red ass or a former TV villain who's now cutting off balls, it's all still beautiful. And there's so much of it everywhere. So find love, to find more love in your life, and do it with kindness. I say this all the time. If each one of us just got 5% kinder every day, the tsunami of kindness that would envelop the earth would be like nothing you've ever seen. And that's something we could see tomorrow. Every day, you get to start your life over. Every day, you can change your direction. Every day, you can walk down a different day. I'm going to ask 5% more kindness in my life. And if everybody woke up and had that same revelation, we would live in a world that looked like Candyland, and it could happen overnight. We could all make that happen tomorrow. And to me, that's such a beautiful thing. Mm. Now, the last one is tough, because I know people have a hard time with the idea of unity.
Before you, I have to run back to
Thank you. Thank you, my friend. Thank you for being a part of this.
Well, just on your kind, because you hit that.
Yeah.
If everybody could just remember, it's so much more important to be kind than to be right.
Yes. Mm. Yes.
You know, Wayne Dyer, a wonderful mentor, used to say that. Just better to be kind than to be right.
So true. Yeah. And part of that word of our movement is unity. We need to realize that we are one human family, and we are designed as a species to be in this together. Our egos and our desires to be right are what sometimes puts us at each other's throats. And also our ability, from our desire to be right, the things that make us different, that make I'm not like you, my experience isn't like Bill's experience, LA's experience isn't like Rebecca's experience. Look at how different we are. If we just flipped our thinking a little bit and started thinking about how unified we are, how much the same we are, how much we're having the same experience, our lives would change. Our individual lives would change, because our perspective would be of a unified America, of a unified Los Angeles, of a unified Earth, not as a bad thing where everyone had to compromise and give up what they loved, but as a beautiful thing where all of us found a way that we could fit together like puzzle pieces, as we're really, really meant to be. This is the vision I believe the universe wants for us. And we're so easy. Evolve in leaps and bounds, and we're just about there to realizing that we will have more individual freedom and be able to be more our organic selves when we become more unified with the rest of our species. So peace, love, kindness, and unity, please keep those words in your mind all the time. Thank you to all of you, the village it takes to raise a vibration, for making I Am Raising the Vibration of the Nation and the World so beautiful. Please check us out at IamRaisingTheVibration.com. And at our new nonprofit hub that Ronan is building, raisingthevibration.org. Until I see you next time, be peaceful, unified, and whatever you do, please keep raising the vibration. I love you all. Thank you so much for this, and thank you for watching.
Happy anniversary. Yay.
Happy anniversary, Raising the Vibration. Happy birthday, Mama.
Happy birthday, Mama.
You're listening to Raising the Vibration with Sheena Metal, only on LA Talk Radio.